Hi, this is Steve from Survive to Thrive Radio Network. We hope you're finding the information on the Survive to Thrive radio program both beneficial and informative. Fridays will bring you replays of my most popular shows with occasional live appearances. We have our lineup for the rest of the week of talk show hosts together to give you the best information and points of view available on the radio. They're certainly the most pertinent and timely. Monday's Darren is on with his show Radical Health. Steve St. Clair and Darren are on Wednesday with Health Freedom. Russ Dizdar is on Tuesdays with Shatter the Darkness, and Hawks Talon is on Thursdays, and me on Fridays. So stay tuned to SurviveToThriveNetwork.com, or you can go to SteveQuayle.com. Click on the radio Listen Live at the top of the page of SteveQuayle.com to bring you to all the new sites, and especially to be able to click on the important radio information. Now, ladies and gentlemen, remember, in these trying times, it's incredibly important to stay healthy. Keep yourself well-nourished with organic fruits and vegetables, and remember to take Enerfood every day without fail. Drinking a healthy smoothie with Enerfood and coconut milk powder from EnerHealth Botanical provides you with easily absorbable nutrition from superfoods that are densely packed with essential nutrients, all of which support optimal health. The guys at EnerHealth continue to offer special pricing to our listeners. They also offer the Survival Pack and Herbal Emergency Packs, as well as their tasty immune-supporting coffee, Nutra Cafe, and their hot cocoa blend, Coco Mojo, which is one of my wife's favorites, both infused with immune-strengthening medicinal mushrooms. Now, they're wonderfully flavorful and very, very healthy. Check out all their specials at SurviveToThrive.net or click on the EnerHealth banner at SteveQuayle.com. In fact, listen, these guys have one of the best deals I've ever seen. They have their immune pack, which is one Enerfood, one coconut milk powder, and their daily immune support, which is on sale for $99.99. You save $32. Their Nutra Cafe is also on special this week, and it costs only $10.99. In addition, they are still offering 15% off on cases, and 10% you get just by being one of our listeners. That's a 25% discount, ladies and gentlemen. Never forget, your body is your most important possession, and its optimal health stays very dependent upon being well hydrated with pure water. Now, the guys at Enerfood are selling the Big Berkey water filters, and you can call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238 to order any of their health specials or the Big Berkey water filter. What will you aid in achieving the best health possible is to stay informed. And never forget, everyone, that your body's the temple. Give it pure foods and beverages as God, nature, intended, and see your body, mind, and spirit once again enjoying the joyful state of health that is a blessing.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry Show here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Leal. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, October 19th, 2010, the year of our Lord. And this Tuesday, we're bringing to you our third program. And I hope that you have been enjoying them so far. Well, actually, if you've heard the other programs, I wonder if the word enjoy is the wrong word. Because some of you might be saying, Nathan, your shows are terrifying and they scare me. And, my friends, if that is possibly true, well, the purpose of this program is to bring things to the table, your table, things that you need to be thinking about and things that you need to be aware of. And depending on where you are in life, in the level of awakening, some of the topics that we visit can be quite scary. I will admit that. But I choose to call them sobering truth. Realistic truth, realistic food for thought. But whatever we call it, they're things that we all need to know about. Now, does this mean that it's the only thing to think about? As I was preparing for this program, I was asking myself, perhaps at times when these type of shows come out, it might appear that the only thing that people like me, Nathan, think about is just doom, constant doom, a constant barrage of doom. And I think about nothing else. And some people have actually asked me that. Nathan, is that all you think about? Do you ever think about nice things? But you know, folks, thinking about the things that are coming upon the land, I would hope would motivate us to reevaluate our priorities. Because when we're thinking about all of these events that are coming, we also need to do a balancing act with the things in life that are important. For example, We need to all be working on relationships. If you happen to be in the same room or nearby a loved one right now as you're listening to this, perhaps one of your children are nearby, a son, a daughter, your babies, or perhaps your family's in the other room or friends, folks, take a look at them right now. What are they doing? Are they reading a book? Are they playing? Are they talking to one another? Are they sitting near you? Now, think about this. If you absolutely knew that in 1 year the lights will be off and things are going to be different, and if you knew that in 1 year you would no longer see them again, then today, would you hold them a little bit tighter when you hug them? Would you, my friends? Would that thing that they do that gets on your nerves be less of a big deal if you knew that in 1 year things were going to be different? If you knew that in 1 year from now, possibly they were going to be injured or perhaps their health wouldn't be the same as it was today, would you treat them different than you do today? You see, folks, part of my challenge to you is to prepare for a bumpy ride, but also to enjoy who you have right now with you. Now, that doesn't mean that I am saying to just go back to sleep and not think about any of these things, because it's true, you could go back to sleep, but to do that would have a price. It would have a very, very heavy price. How's that, Nathan? How would it have a heavy price? Well, it would have the price of not being ready in the future. And by not being ready in the future, it will make life in the future much harder to deal with. So, as I have said in previous shows, I have many things that I need to share with the listening audience, and they cover many categories. But in so doing, I also want to add this challenge that in the time that we have remaining, I want to challenge all of you to get strong, but I also want to challenge you to enjoy the moments that you have right now with your loved ones, with your friends, and with your family. Because we might be in an envelope of time right now where the stress levels are nowhere near what they're going to be in the future. So I just want to throw that in, and it's something that I've been thinking about. Now, as I have said in previous programs, I have many things that I need to share with the listening audience, things that I need to share with you, things that God has shown me in prayer sessions, and those things cover many categories. Some of the categories are warning information of what is coming. Also, I want to share a picture of what we're going to see happen in the future. And when I say a picture, I mean some details of what we're going to see happen. I mean categories of events that we're going to see happen. Now, I have shared a long, long list of those things in other programs, and they're available on my website also at watchmanscry.com. You can go there and listen to them. And there I have a library of things that are approaching. Now, in addition to the warning message, I also want to share sermons and words to help strengthen as many people as possible. Now, key word, my friends, strength. Having strength comes from having spiritual fitness. It comes through going through spiritual boot camp, to have spiritual training, to gain spiritual understanding and spiritual knowledge. And to get this strength, we all need to learn to hear from God. We need to learn how to hear His voice, how to hear His still, small voice speaking to us in our spirit. And God has a desired plan for all of you. God has a will for your life. God wants to see you weather what's coming. In order to do this, we all need to take the time to figure these things out. Another thing that is going to be vitally important to possess as times grow more and more dim and gloomy and perilous is you need to be able to find the peace of God in your life. You need to be able to find rest in your life. Now, what is that? That is a supernatural peace that can come upon your mind, on your heart, and your spirit, on your soul, that can help you to relax and not panic as things get underway. My friends, you will need that. The peace that passes all understanding is worth more than all the gold in the world, because you will be able to face anything without freaking out, in layman's terms. So folks, every one of us are on that type of boot camp. And all of you are at different levels. I understand that. And I have been receiving emails from some of you. Some of you I have actually spoken with on the phone, and you have shared with me that you are on this journey and you are learning to hear God's voice. Some of you have actually asked, Nathan, what does it sound like? Is it loud? Is it booming? Do you hear it in your physical ears, or how do you hear his voice? And those are the kinds of things that all of us need to learn how to do. So, my friends, these messages that I bring about are for that very purpose, to learn how to do that. They are not just about scary, doom, terrifying information. They also contain the tools that you need to be strong and to be able to face what's coming. And also, in the midst of that, I also want to encourage you to enjoy your families and to take the time to just enjoy the moments, those precious moments that can be found in a photograph. You know, every photograph that you take with a loved one has some feelings behind it and has some emotions behind it. And we need to enjoy those good times with our loved ones. So learning this stuff is not so that you can be in a constant state of anxiety and a state of panic. That's not why I do this program. I don't do it so that you can email me frantically with all caps, all capital letters, and say, Nathan, your messages make me panic. They freak me out. They scare me. I don't know what to do. Some people write and they're panicking. But folks, we don't need to be panicking. We need to understand what time it is, but at the same time, gain spiritual strength and fitness. We need to be exercising ourselves so that we're not panicking. Now, I understand fully that the messages can be so dire and perilous that in some people, they do feel like they want to panic. But I want to see all of us learn to process it in a wise way so that we do not panic. Spiritually processing it, folks. Now, that means getting past the I'm freaking out stage. It means getting past the, oh no, what am I going to do stage? I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I can face it. It means getting past the I don't know phase. It means getting to the place where we can say, God, not my will, but let your will be done in my life. And with your strength, God, we can do it. It means having the confidence to hold your hand out, and you know God is holding your hand. So my friends, having this kind of strength comes from practice. Now again, I also want to say this, folks. There is a time and there is a place for everything. There is a time to be vigilant and listen to these type of messages and take them serious, to take notes, to get a to-do list going, to have family meetings, to prepare for this. But in addition to that, there is also a time just to relax and enjoy your family. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, it says, "To everything there is a season. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. There is a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time to break down and a time to build up." In verse 4, look at this, folks. There's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. And you know, folks, that means that weeping is going to happen in our lives. It means that there will be seasons, there will be days, there will be weeks when there's just sadness over you. But if you happen to be in that place right now, please know this, my friends. The seasons always change. Summer comes, and then autumn comes, winter comes, and it starts to snow, and it gets cold outside, and it might seem dreary and gloomy, but then the snow melts, and then spring comes around, and then the birds come out and start singing again. So even though we're going to be going through some hard, hard times, there are times to weep, but in addition to that, there is a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. And there's a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones. There's a time to gather stones. And by the way, how about this one? There's a time to give away bread. There's a time to gather bread. So gathering is not wrong. There's a time to do both of them. There's a time to embrace, to hug. And there's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to gain. And there's a time to lose. There's a time to keep. And there's a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. And watch this one, folks. There's a time of war and there's a time of peace. There's every season under heaven. And of course, we want to pick the good times and live our life with good times. But unfortunately, God declares that there are seasons. So we have to go through those seasons. And if we are wise children of God, Christians that live for Jesus, then since there is no choice of going through some of the times that are not happy, then the next order of business would be to at least let's learn to go through those times with strength and with endurance, with wisdom, and with all of our faculties, with unity with our loved ones. And let's go through those times in right standing with God so that the outcome will have a higher chance of being an outcome that we can handle. So you see, folks, that's my message. I want it to be well-rounded, and I hope that when you think of the Watchman's Cry ministry and message, that you can see that I'm not just trying to be a ministry or a voice of just constant doom, of constant darkness. No, no, my friends, it is a message of warning, but also a message of encouragement and challenge. So my friends, it's good to laugh at times. It's good to enjoy your family. So how does one balance being a prepper with living their regular life? I think that's where the wisdom comes in. It's a challenge, folks, to not go back to sleep, to stay vigilant, but to enjoy the good moments in your life. And that's one reality check that I wanted to share and to bring to the table in this program. Now, I know that if someone just listened to what we see on the news, the tranquilizing news that's out there, who whitewashes the real story, you know, folks, in a way, it's very frustrating, especially for those of you that are very vigilant and you know what's going on. It's frustrating when you might be trying to wake up a family member or a loved one or a friend, and they come back and they give you the rebuttal that, well, the news isn't saying that. What you're telling me is totally opposite of what I'm hearing on Fox. Obama said the recovery is here. Everything's going to work. They're going to do a new stimulus, and hey, things are going to be fine. So it's very frustrating to be in competition with some of the tranquilizer from TV. That's why it's important to listen to programs and shows like this one so that you can get some ammunition and also share these messages with your loved ones and friends, because it gives them the opportunity to hear news that they wouldn't hear on the mainstream. Now, on the program last Tuesday, I was sharing on the topics of America's volatility and on trigger points that are occurring here in America. And we talked about the IMF and the UN talking about abandoning the dollar, about how there was a need for a one world currency. And also we talked about how it's starting to come on mainstream news and being reported that Congress is actually discussing and has on the table the thought of legislation to steal the retirement wealth of this nation from you and to put it into a huge box and redistribute it according to socialist tactics. And what that means is we have socialism and fascism arriving here in America. It's arriving before our very eyes, folks. So while your loved one is telling you Fox News is saying everything's okay, well, at the same time, Google the story about how Congress is debating and discussing how to nationalize all the retirement funds of America. Show that to your loved ones. Folks, fascism is arriving here in this country. Now, there are other trigger points that we are now facing. Now, those things are many. They're not just one thing. And all of these events are tangled. They're tangled together. They're not one separate event, but many of them are all going to affect one another. It's very complicated the way this trigger is developing, the way that this new crisis is arriving. Now, I have said over and over that we have seen Act 1 occur. Intermission is over and Act 2 is about to begin. Already here we are, folks. The last few months of the year 2010, and I would say that Act 2 is getting started now. The MC of the show is on the stage, and he is announcing what we're about to see happen, what's coming. And those are some of the things that I want to mention right now. And one of the biggies that's come to the forefront is the foreclosure crisis. Have you heard of it, folks? Now, this very thing has the makings of being able to totally destroy the United States and the world economy. Now, folks, this thing is very, very serious. In fact, if this thing makes a turn for the worse, it could go right off the cliff. This thing is chaotic. It is a mountain rumbling like a volcano ready to erupt. And it is going to make the chaos of the subprime crash look like peanuts. Now, what is this? This foreclosure mess is so tangled and it has so many participants that are involved in it. Basically, in a quick summary, what it means, folks, is when a bank is foreclosing on someone right now, the mortgage has traded hands so many times from the time that that borrower initially got the loan. Let's say that a borrower borrowed money from Wells Fargo Bank and they got a house loan for $100,000. Well, within a few weeks of Wells Fargo lending that money to the borrower to buy the house, Wells Fargo Bank then turned around and sold that note in the open market. And that note was bundled and packaged with a lot of other mortgages, maybe 100 or 1,000 mortgages. And those 1,000 mortgages became a product in the financial markets called a mortgage-backed security, and it could be sold many times over. It went through many hands as investors would buy them and then sell them and then buy them and sell them. Perhaps retirement funds would buy them and then they would sell them. Insurance companies would buy them and sell them. And each time that mortgage exchanged hands, the record keeping for that mortgage became lost. So if it changed hands 5 or 10 times, by the time it's in the final possession of some bank or some investor, if the original borrower defaulted on the note and they quit paying their mortgage, 10 exchanges down the line to whoever the final owner of this mortgage is, they would foreclose on it. But here's where it runs into a problem. The title of that mortgage got lost because it changed hands so many times. And that's what we see happening right now. Banks have been foreclosing on properties, but then some judges have found out that the banks didn't even have the titles to the properties. And then they started digging, and they found out that the paperwork for the foreclosure was issued by a minimum wage worker in a boiler room who was just signing the documents for foreclosure without actually reading them. And it's come to the light now that some of these boiler room foreclosure companies who are subcontractors for banks had so many foreclosures to process that they would have employees literally process up to 500 foreclosures a day. And if you do the math, that comes out to about 45 foreclosures an hour, which ends up being that the individual employee processed one foreclosure every 1.5 minutes. And they just signed the documents saying that it's time to repossess the house without reading them. They didn't look through the documents to see if the title of the house was in there. It's called robo-signing, like a robot just signing constantly through their shift. And we have some of these contractors who did the paperwork for banks who have now admitted that they have employed these kinds of tactics. So now, when that foreclosure goes to court, the judge wants to know, where's the note? Who has the title? And the bank doesn't have it. So now there are several big banks that have put a halt to other foreclosures, Bank of America being one of them. GMAC is another one, until they can iron this mess out. But as they are looking backwards to try to figure out how these notes got lost and how the legal paperwork got lost, what they are finding out is some of them might be impossible to find the paperwork for. So what this means, folks, is that a lot of foreclosures are going to come to a halt. There's going to be a stalemate on them. But the bank that still has the final mortgage on this thing as a security still wants their money. So how are they going to get the house or the money away from the homeowner? It becomes a bowl of legal mush where it's going to be hard to iron out all of the technicalities. But the bottom line is this. Many people now are being frustrated because they don't know who to pay their foreclosure to, or they wonder, does the bank have a legal right to take this house away if they don't have the title? So homeowners that are behind on their payments are hiring lawyers to try to figure this out. And if enough people were to do this, what it would mean is a lot of the United States would stop paying on their mortgages. The numbers are staggering. Individuals may find that, well, if there's going to be a halt in foreclosure, this might encourage a lot of people to just stop making their payments. If they see that they can possibly live in their house for free for a year or two. And if enough people did that, this would absolutely demolish the last remaining liquidity in the economy right now, because a lot of banks right now are depending on the money to come in. Even though they're thieves, they're still hoping to get some of the payments from people. And if enough people stop making payments, A, the banks would go under. They couldn't stay in business. The other problem is now that the banks don't know where the paperwork is, they can't foreclose on properties. So now their investments, the collateral for their money, is hung up in the courts. It has the makings to just wipe out any false hope of recovery. This can stop it dead in the water. The other thing that this can cause is no one's going to want to buy a house that's in foreclosure if it's going to be taken away from them. Some houses that were purchased in foreclosure could have been purchased with the wrong title. So houses might be stripped away from investors that have bought some of those cheap foreclosures right now. So investors are going to stop investing in foreclosures. It's a horrible domino situation that is set up right now. Fannie and Freddie Mac are going to take a huge, huge hit for this. And there is no fix in sight for this thing, folks. Now, over a year ago, I had a dream that the economy was going to crash, the economic engine was going to fall, and before it hit the ground, it was going to take out many, many small banks. And it was going to happen suddenly, all at once. and without warning. So this situation that is developing has the very perilous ingredients for this prophetic dream to come true. This foreclosure gate mess has the makings to do it. So, folks, please hear me. This is a side note. This is just my opinion. Take what I'm about to say to prayer, but I would say this. If any of you have been thinking of selling your house in the future, I would challenge you to do it as quickly as possible, and you might even have to take a loss on it, but your house will not be worth more tomorrow than it is right now. So every day that you delay may cost you, because the way that this thing is shaping up, it may be a catalyst for the crash of real estate values down to levels that we never even imagined. Before this situation reared its ugly head in the last several weeks, because of the alternative A loans that are going to be coming due in 2011 through 2012 and 2013 in the next 2 or 3 years, there is an expectation that property values were already going to come down another 20 or 30%. But now that this thing has risen up, property values could be cut in half in the years ahead, folks, or even more. We may see houses down into numbers we haven't seen in decades as this thing gets going. So, again, if you have been thinking, I'm going to sell my house after this winter or in a few months, for sure you know you want to sell your house, but right now you're just delaying. Folks, again, take it to God in prayer. Get some other counsel and some other advice from people that know this situation that I'm talking about right now. But my advice would be seriously consider listing your house right now and selling it, even if you have to get less than you thought that you wanted to get. Folks, I'm very serious with this warning, because the values are going to be down so low, they're going to be scraping the ground. Huge, huge losses are coming. And it's really amazing that the mainstream media has not been talking about this. But again, that's their job, to keep everybody tranquilized and to not let people know what time it is. So if anyone that you're talking to tries to use the media as their standard for not being concerned about this thing, right now it might be possible that the media is just treating this like a little inconvenience or another financial story. But as the weeks progress, this story is going to become a very, very big story. But then again, folks, perhaps it never will be. That's the thing that's interesting about the Ministry of Propaganda here over America. You know, there's many times where I think, now surely this story is going to be mainstream. But then some Hollywood celebrity will bump a story that's actually more important. And then there will be a yawn about the real story, and then there will be another propaganda story from the Baghdad Bobs of mainstream media, and we'll hear about the false recovery. We will hear about how the stock market's advancing and going up and up after Ben Bernanke had some good words for the economy. It's crazy, folks. But if a person is really wise and they get online and read the true stories that are out there, and folks, these are easy to find. It's not hard to find these true stories. You can go to Steve Quayle's website and read financial news. You can go to True News every day. Rick Wiles puts up some stories there about what's happening in the financial news and implosion of the world economy. So do your own research, folks, but those stories are on the internet. You can find them. And one story that's out there right now is last month we had a record, the highest number in history. We had over 100,000 repossessions in 1 month. It's the first time ever that we have had repossessions over 100,000. That happened just last month. The U.S. economy is coming apart at the seams right now, folks. And please know this, the stock market is not a true barometer of the economy. Because when you think about it, who owns the stock market? Who are the investors that own this market now? Many of them are offshore. The customer base is global now. It's in China, it's in Asia, it's in Europe. So that doesn't mean anything. How can that be a reflection on the U.S. economy when the customer base is not in the U.S. and the owners are not in the U.S.? It's all a lie. And it looks like the break is coming right now. So after the break, I'm going to talk about more trigger points that we are going to be seeing in the days ahead.
right now. We're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, ask him what he thinks about it. But I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once. And that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you. And you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, Interfood.com. And give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. And not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah, it's really that good.
Yeah, she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system, and it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Interfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Interfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact, and that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Well, welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry Show. And real quick, I want to tell you about the sponsor of this program, Inner Health Botanicals. Inner Health Botanicals has many items that can help your body be strong, to be healthy. They have supplements to boost immunities when you're fighting a cold or a flu. They have energy drinks, and they have survival packs. They have Berkey filters. So go check them out. Their website is survivetothrive.net. That's S-U-R-V-I-V-E, the number 2-T-H-R-I-V-E.net. Check them out, folks. They have some things that you can most likely use. Now, as we were talking before the break, that there are trigger points that are showing us that the days are indeed perilous, folks. As this foreclosure crisis gets traction, we are going to hear the words that it's chaos in the markets. They're going to talk about the scandal. They're going to talk about the fraud, the lies. But the bottom line of this entire matter, folks, is we are going to see a financial earthquake occur in America and in the world. This is a trigger point. It's going to come to America first, and a chain reaction will spread throughout the world. The American foreclosure fiasco is going to burn down the last remaining vestiges of health in their lying economy. The American housing market and any remaining strength in the American housing market is going to be destroyed. It's going to sink underwater. Now, here's the part that is partial speculation, but part of it is also calculated guesses. How can this thing be fixed? That's the big question, folks. If a bank doesn't know where the paper is, and a person says, I can live here, and you can't kick me out, or if a person bought a foreclosure and the bank takes it away, how can there be any resolve to this? How can it be turned around? How can it stop the implosion? From what we've seen from the last 2 years of experience with how the U.S. federal government is dealing with the crisis, we can see that their remedy seems to constantly be to intervene and to step in. So we have seen them step in rescuing GM and nationalizing GM, and then they did it for Chrysler. And then we saw them do it in the insurance industry with AIG. We saw them do it with banks, with the TARP program. We saw them do it now in Obamacare. The healthcare industry, folks, one by one, each industry of this nation is becoming nationalized and fascism is taking over these industries. We are seeing a merger of corporatism and the federal government. Fascism is happening before our very eyes right now. So with this new foreclosure crisis that's coming, is Obama going to come up with a plan that's going to nationalize all of the banks in America? And also, here's something to think about that's actually disturbing to think about. Are they going to nationalize the ability to own property in America because of the lost titles that will happen nationwide with millions and millions of homes? Effectively, are they going to take away the ability for citizens to have private property? Is there going to be a great land grab? Is the federal government going to say, from here on out, all properties belong to the state? If you were a owner free and clear, then report to the local land office and we'll give you the paperwork. But the federal government is now the land office to take over the divvying up and the record keeping of every property in the country. Are we going to see that happen, folks, like the former Soviet Union did? You know, the United States seems to be going the wrong direction. The health of America's capitalism, their capitalist roots, free enterprise roots, are in a tailspin right now, heading downward in a spiral. And all of these categories that I just mentioned should be very, very disturbing to the average American red-blooded citizen. Unfortunately, most citizens are too stupid to figure it out. They don't see fascism taking over. All they care about is that they can eat. So how much fascism has to appear in front of our eyes before citizens actually wake up and become disturbed? Folks, this story is rising up to be a very, very disturbing story. And this is just me guessing, but this is what I'm concerned about. Are we going to see a new deceptive package of legislation from Capitol Hill? Are we going to see a package that sounds good, that might say, from now on, you just pay Uncle Sam and your payment's going to be low. It's not going to even be as high as what the banks were charging you. It's a 50-year mortgage, or it's a 60-year or 75-year. It's a 100-year mortgage. It's a mortgage that you could actually transfer over to your kids after you pass on. So if something like that were to occur, that would make every citizen a perpetual renter. But I can see it happening, folks. They will offer these great tax breaks. It will be backdoor fascism and backdoor socialism because they will package some plan that the people would just slobber over and say, yeah, I'll do that. You see, folks, when fascism arrives, it doesn't come in through the front door. It sneaks in. But by the time it's fully in control, the state runs everything. And how many people are going to fall for this thing? How many would gladly say, you know, I don't know, the plan they have sounds great. There's all these benefits. And you see, folks, Big Brother knows how to subdue the crowds. They know how to subdue them. It's very simple. You offer to put something in their pocket, or you offer to put something in their wallet. Folks, a great deception is occurring right now before our very eyes, and I would not put it past him for this thing to happen. So how's this thing going to play out, folks? When Obama is feeding one-third of the country already, how many people would gladly jump through the hoops at the threat of losing benefits? I would say many, many would do that. You know, folks, money talks for so many people. That unemployment check they get in the mail, it talks. How many of you folks saw the videos during the Gulf spill of the press trying to walk up to the Gulf spill workers, BP employees, contractors, who were trying to sift the sand and find pebbles of oil and put it in their bags? How many of you noticed that those employees refused to talk to the press? And those people were red-blooded Americans living down in along the Gulf Coast, living in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida. They looked like tough guys. Some of them very husky men that looked like they could stomp anybody that they wanted to. But no, they had no bravery when the media came by and they said, why won't you talk to us? And every one of them said, I'll lose my job. I can't. So you see, folks, when you got people thinking about not having food, about not having money, it's easy to control them. So as this thing plays out, I have to wonder. I hear people saying, you know, there's going to be a revolt and the Patriots are going to come out of the woodwork. They'll finally get so mad that they'll say, no, I'm not going to take it anymore. But then again, we keep seeing the subdued citizens that are keeping their peace under the threat of not eating or not feeding their family. The days are going to be interesting, folks. Very, very interesting. And that is why my warning says, do what you can to prepare your family in spiritual measures, but in addition to that, in preparation measures, because you do not want to be at the mercy of FEMA or a federal government employee who's deciding whether or not to feed you or not. You do not want to be the mercy of a breadline, of a soup kitchen. You do not want to be in those shoes, my friends. Folks, America is on fire right now. How do you describe the medical condition of this nation? How do you describe the physiological health of America right now? The economic health, the spiritual health, the moral health. In every one of these categories, the family unit health, the mental health, every one of these categories, folks, America is not sound. It is not strong. It is not at the top of the list. Its health is failing in all of these areas. And right now, America is in intensive care. She is on life support. America's heartbeat is growing weaker and weaker by the day. We are seeing the very historical witnessing of a failing empire, the death of an empire. And folks, it brings me no celebration or happiness or enjoyment to report this to you. These things are happening though, folks. We are seeing it. When empires fall, they make a sound. When they land and hit the ground, they do make a sound. And America is going to make a sound, a very, very loud sound when it hits the ground. And when that sound happens, when the contact is made with the ground is going to shake and tremble and stir and vibrate. It's not going to happen in silence, my friends. It's not. So it's very important that we are ready for these things. The policies of the United States government that have attempted to contain have failed. All of the policies have failed, folks. And even though we have Obama with his administrative panel and his henchmen who follow him around like laughing hyenas and agree with everything he says in lighthearted banter, even though they are laughing about it, folks, there's not going to be laughing from the citizens because the United States fiscal policy is underfunded, it is weak, and it is not able to sustain itself. Folks, it's real easy to look at history and observe that there were other empires. Great Britain used to be the empire of the world in the 1800s. And we can go back in history, and there was always someone at the top. They went away. And then someone took their place, and they went away. And it has always been that way. Empires rise, empires fall. After World War II, after we dropped the bomb in Japan, the United States became a superpower. Bretton Woods Agreement was signed. The dollar became the currency of the world. And America had a few decades of enjoyment. So from 1945 till now, that's 65 years, approximately, that America got to enjoy superpower status. But like all other great empires, the status eventually erodes. And bad choices are made by the leadership. Bad policies are voted upon. Bad measures are passed. Bad legislation is allowed. The citizens grow complacent and apathetic. And all great empires, as they go downhill, see the same fate. Apathy, entitlement, high taxes, high spending, and insanity by the leadership. Insane policies that believe that perpetual motion exists for them. But history records, and it shows us, and it tells us that perpetual motion for empires does not exist. At least not for earthly empires. And the momentum for the United States has changed for this world. And the voices of God have been warning that this day was coming. And we are seeing these things occur before our very eyes right now. We're witnessing these things. We are witnessing history right now, my friends. It's happening before our very eyes. But how many people are disturbed by it? They think it's going to fix itself? Folks, if you're old enough to remember, I'm 48 years old, so I remember in the 70s, in the 60s, when we went to the store and bought a box of cereal. Those boxes were huge back then. You remember that, folks? You could have go-karts inside of them as the prize. They were huge. And now you go to the grocery store, how big are those boxes? They're tiny. They're as small as a John Grisham novel. And they're as thin as one. I was in Safeway last night, and I was looking at the cereal boxes. I was turning them sideways, and I was showing them to my wife. And then I started noticing something. When you read the nutritional information on these boxes, it says the serving for that nutrition information, and then it says how many servings per container. So I picked up a box of Kellogg's Post Toasties, that big one that it's still big on that one. And I looked at it, and it said serving size, 1 cup, servings per box, 25. And then I looked at all the other boxes, as small as a little miniature Bible. And you know, folks, Kellogg's and Post cereal and General Mills knows something. They know that most people don't really care. And I looked at a box of Captain Crunch. Remember those boxes? Used to be big. Now they're tiny. Serving size, 3/4 cup. Servings per container, 11. So that means 11 servings are going to come out of this box. Maybe they won't figure it out. I can see the General Mills board of directors sitting around a table. Sir, how do we trick them? Well, let's make the serving size smaller and we'll raise up the servings per container because they're too stupid to figure it out. You think so, sir? Well, of course. And how true is that? Most people don't figure it out. And on top of that, the box of cereal is still $4 and $5. So food is getting expensive. It's going to become very expensive. And as America burns, just like Rome did, we're going to see basic essentials becoming very, very expensive. The economy is not in recovery. It's a fail. The economy is failing, my friends. Those that are perpetually optimistic on MSNBC and Bloomberg television, just because they're laughing doesn't mean they're telling the truth, my friends. Just because they are grinning does not mean they know what they're talking about. Just because they have a nice looking face with all that makeup on them does not mean they're not blind. And it doesn't mean that they are not employees of the Ministry of Propaganda, Baghdad Bob and all his henchmen. Folks, think about it. Since Obama has been in office, we have been hearing about all of these policies that are going to save the country. Initially, we heard about the stimulus package. And remember Obama saying those words? This is going to save or create 3 million jobs. You remember that, folks? 3 million jobs. Since the stimulus has passed, officially, the United States has lost 4 million more jobs. That's officially. It's even higher than that. So what does that mean, folks? That means his words were an epic fail. Fail. But if you question it, people get mad, especially if they voted for him. All of you Obama lovers and Obama worshipers, I'm telling the truth right now. It was a fail. The Cash for Clunkers program that offered some rebates for new car buyers as long as they turned in their old car, which was crushed, has been a colossal fail. And it also had an effect on the used car market. It has driven up the cost of used cars now that some of the used cars that were out there have been taken off the streets. So that's a fail. The home buyer tax credit, offering tax benefits for people to buy a new house, that has been a fail. How about the Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP, to rescue all the banks? And what it really did was pad the pockets of the top too big to fail banks and their bankster cronies. That has been a fail because it has not caused the economy to turn around. So all of these policies, and there are many more that I don't have time to go into, have been failures, my friends. And now here we are, approaching election time, on a path toward an explosion in the economy because of the foreclosure crisis. And I say this, my friends, that path, the foreclosure mess, is not sustainable. The overconfidence of the administration with shiny white teeth cannot sustain itself. Because when people are eating out of garbage cans in the next few months, that is going to show that the policies are failing. Prices are going to go up for things that you buy at the store. And as these prices go up, it's going to change the culture of America. We are going to see a drastic change in the way people acquire things. For example, cotton reached just in the last week a 140-year high number. Records started being kept by the New York Cotton Exchange in 1870. And what cotton hit last week is the highest amount ever in the history of the New York Cotton Exchange. Cotton has risen 56% in the last 3 months, folks. That's 5-6%. That's over half. So while the people are grinning on Fox News, while Bill O'Reilly is convincing the world that he's right about everything with his arrogant prose, cotton went up 56%. What does this mean? Very simple. Manufacturers are going to pass the cost increase to us, the consumer. They're going to pass the cost of clothing to us. Now, why is this happening? Because the dollar's growing weaker. It's getting weaker and weaker, so commodity prices are going higher and higher. Sugar, orange juice, coffee, all of these things have soared, folks. That means higher prices at the store. That means, as I said, the cereal boxes are going to shrink. It means clothing is going to go up. It means that $50 pair of jeans is going to go up to $60, $75, and then $100. Now, side note on that piece of information, folks, can you say Goodwill? Secondhand thrift stores? Can you say garage sales? Can you say the underground economy through Craigslist, buying used clothing? That's what we're going to see. People are not going to pay $100 for a pair of jeans, or at least the smart ones won't. And I hope none of you do that, folks. I really do. That's just insane. Now, as American empire crashes and burns, we are going to see, as I said, a new underground economy. It'll be a new culture where things aren't as shiny when we get them. They will not come wrapped in a brand new package. There will not be a receipt for them from the store because we'll be obtaining them used. People will be settling for secondhand. And we're already seeing that occur. The underground used economy through trading, through bartering, and by bypassing the retail outlets. Which, by the way, I want to encourage all of you folks, before you go and buy something brand new, if you have a to-do list of things that you need, before you go out and spend full price on it, full retail price, check out Craigslist. There's someone trying to get rid of things. There could be someone wanting to leave the country, wanting to leave the state, wanting to leave their house, and you could find things for pennies on the dollar. I see it all the time on Craigslist. You know, there's an old saying that I have said before, and I want to say it again. Retail is for Gentiles, and we're the grafted branch of God, so act like it, folks. Be wise with your money. That's a side note. So getting back to the trigger points, though, the United States economy is a trigger point divided into subcategories of very volatile events with volatile fuel poured all over them. You know what's amazing, folks? When we had the oil eruption in the Gulf of Mexico, the Deepwater Horizon, and the platform, the Deepwater Horizon, caught on fire and sunk. You know, when you think about it, that event was prophetic over the United States of America. Because if you were to put the word America in front of that platform and switch the name around, what you have is America's horizon is in deep water. And how true is that, folks? America is sinking. Now, that doesn't mean every American is going to drown along with her, but many will because they do not see it. The big trillion-dollar question, folks, is this. Can it be stopped? Can it be turned around? Can it be slowed down? Can God stop it? Well, number one, can it be stopped? Of course it could. God could do anything he wants. He's big. With his hand, he could put his hand under America as America's sinking in the water and pull her out of the water. But here's the question. Will God do that? Well, it's conditional. The only way God would do that is if the nation of America repented in a high enough amount. And I don't see that happening, folks. I really don't. So, since America at this moment is not repenting, then we have game on for the crash of Empire America. So what's the end result going to be? America is going to fall, crumble, be consumed in the ashes of the world's economy in a huge economic collapse. And after America smolders for a while, the rest of the world is going to decide that now is the time for the New World Order. The remedy for this big mess will be a one world currency and a new global government. So this event is part of a bigger prophetic picture and a bigger prophetic image. The imagery of prophecy, folks, is happening before our very eyes. So we cannot lose that perspective either. So how is it going to play out in your family? My friends, please do what you have to do to weather this thing. Do not be a part of typical blind Americana, which is arrogance, complacency, apathy, and assumption. Assuming that it's all going to work out because it always does and it always has in the past. Well, you know what, folks? In the history of the world, things don't always work out the way we think that they should. You know, Hollywood has brainwashed so many people. I deserve it. I'm entitled to it because, after all, I'm an American. Well, that's part of our problem, my friends. When you look at Revelation chapter 3, part of the disappointment that Jesus had with the church of Laodicea was they were arrogant. They thought that they were rich and in need of nothing. They thought that nothing bad would ever happen to them. Unfortunately, they thought wrong. And the only remedy to get on God's good graces is repentance. For those people that are hoping that some other country will come to the rescue, China will give us a jump start. Hey, China, My battery's dead. Can you come over here and give me a jump? What do you say? I'll buy more of your plastic toys and stick them in my Walmart if you give me a jump. What do you say, China? Oh, America, are you? You want jump? Oh, yeah, I bring jumper cable to you. Yeah, China, bring that jumper cable over here. Okay, here, jumper cable. Okay, I'm going to connect. No, China, you're doing it wrong. Ah, no, no, you don't tell me how. You don't say how. I do it right. No, China, I'm an American. I know how to fix cars. We have GM here. So it's best if you listen to us because we know how to build cars, China. Ah, no, no, you make China mad. You don't tell China how to jumpstart. How to jumpstart car. Well, China, I have to tell you because we're Americans. And look down there. You're not putting the cable on the battery wrong. Look, you're doing it wrong, China. Let me show you how to do it. No, no, America, forget. We forget you. We not help you. Bye-bye. We not help. You too arrogant. You too full of pride. We no help you. And now you stay there. Your car not work. Too bad. Oh, come on, China. I was just kidding. China, come on back here. I won't tell you how to do it. China. You see, folks, America needs a jump start, but we still tell the world how to give us the jump start. And we need the world to purchase treasuries, to buy our debt. But at the same time, we're telling the world how to do everything, calling all the shots. And you know what, folks? The world's tired of that. They're sick of that. The world has gathered together. China has been telling other nations of the world that the yuan needs to become the new currency and that they want to deal in the yuan, the Chinese yuan. China has signed up Turkey to removing the dollar from the trade agreements. China has also signed up almost all of Asia. China has signed up Belarus, Argentina, Brazil, and now Turkey. And all of these countries are going to deal with China in the yuan. And they no longer are going to use the dollar. The dollar is becoming abandoned. China is taking the steps, folks, right now to become the next reserve currency of the world. And as this thing gets traction throughout the world, things are going to change here in America for us. I've talked about this over and over, that it's coming. And I also want you to know this, folks. I am working on my regular Watchman's Cry audio on a sermon. And when that sermon comes out, I really, really believe it's going to encourage and challenge a lot of you in spiritual ways. So go to my website. If you haven't signed up to subscribe to my audios, please go there, watchmanscry.com. When these sermons come out, I will send you a notification and a link so that you can listen to it, and they will bless you. So also, I want to say this. The Watchman's Cry ministry is 100% listener supported. It's supported by gifts from you. So if you appreciate what you're listening to, please seek God about helping to support this ministry. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and there's a way to contact us there. Well, folks, I appreciate and thank you for listening to this program. Please tell all your friends about it, because the more friends that you tell, the more people we can warn and the more souls can be rescued to weather the days ahead. Well, folks, God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.